It's Mike Shope.
We were having a very serious conversation about mayonnaise here.
And the Bulldog.
And don't even talk to me about weed.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
There's mayonnaise in my car, and it's 82. Is that bad? Should I go get it? I mean, is it going to melt?
You might want to go get that.
You think? Like 3.5 hours in the car. I'm in the shade. I might want to go get that.
You might want to go get that.
I stopped for mayonnaise, and because I'm 100, I stopped for mayonnaise and tomato paste on my drive-in today. I'd rather do it on my drive-in than forget after I get home, and then I go to cook, and I don't have it. That tomato paste, it's a big one. Got to have it. Got to have it on hand. Joe Ostrowski on hand from BetQL Daily, weekdays 9 to noon. Odyssey family member, BetMGM game days 8 to 11 with Jason Lockenfora. You can hear the BetQL network on the Odyssey app and our The Bet Buffalo 1520. Hi, Joe.
What's going on, Mike?
Oh, well, one thing that isn't is Survivor for me. Not going
really?
On. No longer going on. I lost on Detroit.
I lost one on Detroit. The big one, I took the Chargers.
Yeah, you said you were going to, and that was great.
Yeah, it's people are trying to talk me off of it. Chargers are going to charge her. It's different now. I think you have to evaluate that team differently. I know it's a whole sample size of two games, but all of a sudden Brandon Staley is gone and Harbaugh's there and the culture's changed and they can actually play defense, like to the level of one of the best in the league right now. Schedule matters, of course, and we're going to learn a lot about these teams as this sample size grows this week. Like, there are some teams that I'm hesitating on. You were just talking about Mayo. The Titans should be 2-0, and so that's an interesting spot that they're at. And we don't know about Jordan Love. If I had to wager on it, I would say that they sit Love one more game, ramp him up for the Vikings game next week, and see if they can get away with Willis again.
Yeah, in Tennessee, interestingly, by the way.
Yeah, revenge.
You know, back to the Chargers, One bet I looked at to bring up with you is the Chargers to win the AFC West at plus 400. Is that insane?
How low on the Chiefs are you?
Well, they have escaped twice. I mean, I know the history. They've escaped twice against good teams. But I think Pacheco matters. I think Hollywood Brown should matter for their overall plan. Not that he ever showed up, but he's not there. I feel like they're scrambling a little bit already. And I don't know about Kelsey, right? Like, weird things happen in this league. And if the Chargers, like, they probably are minus money right now to make the playoffs, or are they not?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
Looked at this the other day.
So that's an expectation that they get to 10 wins.
Yeah,
right?
it was a coin flip going into the year, and now they start 2-0. It's changed a whole lot. How the opponents matter, right? Like I just said.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tough to balance too. Okay, they're even. Yeah, slight favorite. They're even money at BetMGM. I see. So
they play a last place schedule now. That's not what it used to be, but that's three games.
Right.
So that's New England. Cincinnati finished last. No, they play that division, so that doesn't matter. Who was last in the AFC South? Tennessee,
yeah.
So they play them. And then whatever their NFC game is a last-place game. Like, the Chiefs play the Bills.
So you want to make that bet before next week with the Chiefs game? Because you're thinking that the Chargers could be live.
Yeah. At Pittsburgh this week. You know, it's 4-1, right? It's not something where I do it straight up.
They're a 4-point dog on the look ahead.
For Kansas City?
Yeah.
Next week?
Yes. Exactly. So, Yeah, you could be live for that one. I don't think it's terrible. It's one of those things you wish you would have played it before. Because the Carolina one, like, that's a win in pocket. It was a toss-up going in with the Raiders game. But yet the line moves, but it didn't move too much. You know, it's up in the air. The Chiefs thing's interesting. I do like the Falcons this week getting more than a field goal in that matchup. That's the Sunday night matchup with the Chiefs. And yes, we've told this story before. It happened last year where they were going through all these struggles in the regular season. Does it mean they're going to ramp it up, that Kelsey's going to ramp it up again in the playoffs? No, it doesn't mean that. But yeah, we heard all the talk all offseason. They were mad about last regular season, and that's not going to happen again. And things go wrong in this league, and sometimes it's one thing after another, and that's why we always end up talking about cluster injuries, because it puts teams in bad spots. And if you think Pacheco matters, like, yeah, I totally hear you. Right now it looks like it's going to have to be Rice carrying that team along with Mahomes.
I know, and that's kind of a lot. I mean, Worthy is a big deal, but what was it, two targets or something? Just that's the whole league right now. I feel like I know your game well enough to know that you're here for a mid-season, a forgotten about kind of long shot division bet. That's how you won on the Orioles that way, right? I mean, just
yes.
That's what that was last year. And you and I with Bulldog here at one point kind of early last season were like, what about the Texans at 8-1 to win the AFC South? Like, are we sure Jacksonville? That's the difference here, is Jacksonville and their reputation versus Kansas City's. But, you know, last year that hit, and they were like 8-3 at one point, the Jags, and they still didn't get home. So, I don't know.
Even with more games, these lines, just with more people getting involved on a weekly basis, they move so quickly. I may have mentioned it to you last week, but a week ago, going into that Niners game, Minnesota's a long shot at 6-1, tied with the Packers, by the way. Both end up winning, and now they're in the 3-1 range. You know,
yep.
The Vikings are now the second favorite in that division. So the Bears go from the second favorite to the fourth favorite. Vikings and Packers go from the long shot to like almost identical second and third favorite, and then the Lions number comes down. It's every single result. These lines are shifting so much, except for like the AFC North, where you have two 0-2 teams, but they're still the first and second favorite in the Bengals and the Ravens.
You like that? Does that work for you or no?
I need more value. I need more value. So history in this playoff format, history tells, I think it's 2 out of 41, 5% have made the playoffs after starting 0-2, and Cincinnati has what looks like a gimme on Monday night. We know in this league there's no such thing. And then the Ravens have a tougher one going up against the Cowboys. So if either of them go 0-3, I look at it and I was like, yeah, these are teams I want to bet on. Where's my value? I'm not getting value. The value went down after the Bengals lost to the Chiefs because they showed people that they could hang with them still.
The value's on the Browns, I think. Like, the challenge is, this is always the challenge, but trying to figure out what the information we have so far is really worth. Like, my instinct is to not forget, not detach from all the preseason expectations. Like, I don't know if I'd want to bet on the Bears because that looks a lot different than I thought. But
you know what game, like, I think describes what you're talking about this week? The Saints and the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
So how much are we buying into Kubiak and the Saints offense versus how we felt about the Eagles going into the season, even though they're coming off, you know, it's going to be a short week, it's going to be a raucous atmosphere all of a sudden because, yeah, of course, that fan base has got to be believing after these first couple of games, and a loss that never should have happened for Philadelphia. Yes, you're going to have A.J. Brown missing this game, but I think that kind of defines what you're talking about.
Yep.
Here. So like, what are the Saints? We're not quite sure, but I think most people were very high on the Eagles. I was one of them, and they're a 3-point underdog, the Eagles are, at the Saints. We didn't think that was going to happen 2 weeks ago.
No, but give me New Orleans.
Yeah?
Because, like, that challenge, you know, again, what did we think would happen, and then what's our new information if, I don't know who, Chicago or somebody, like, they're playing close games, and Green Bay, the lines are moving so dramatically off of what really games that could easily have been flipped. That's different from New Orleans. New Orleans reminds me of the Kurt Warner Rams season, where it's like, okay, when do I want to buy this? And it turns out you should have immediately, right? Like, their results are off the charts so far, and I kind of want to lean into that.
And different sports books have different opinions. They're the favorites at some places for the South, and other places they have the same price as the Bucks.
Yeah, you know, the Bucks.
So people are trying to figure out. Yeah, the Bucks too. And you know, with their defense, they're beat up right now, but they're performing, but there's some evidence of a little bit of luck there. So is that going to continue? Well, they've got a good spot here this week, though. So they're supposed to go 3-0. They're a 6.5-point home favorite against a rookie quarterback.
That's another one because, like, I didn't like them at all this year because last year I think it was a little bit inflated. They get a playoff win. They shouldn't even have been in the playoffs, but weak division, close wins. And that's why I was on Detroit in Survivor because I just don't think the Bucs are very much. Mm-hmm. And that really should have been Detroit's game. I thought about calling you. I thought about calling you because the expected points favored Detroit. And I thought maybe I could get a pass in Survivor if I won on expected points.
Yes.
You probably have a rule against that.
They outgained them by 250 yards.
Come on.
1-for-7 in the red zone. And if you're thinking, okay, what's the path for the Bucs to beat the Lions on the road? The path is probably... okay, they have a great game on offense. They attack that Lions secondary, and that they just outscore them. It's a low-scoring game. They only put 20 points on the board, and the Lions still couldn't win after all that. Yeah, I mean, that was one of those games you look at the box score and like, look, that result makes no sense.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sense, but you get some of these. A lot of times you maybe sometimes get one a week in the league. And if due to the red zone, it felt like we got a couple of those this past
year. Maybe with all this being said, Detroit futures are a good bet. I mean, if people are hot for Minnesota right now, maybe that's a good bet.
Still the favorite. They're still the favorite in the division. But yeah, there is that reaction. Look at everybody that lost last week on the NFC side. All the teams that people liked or were talking about going to the Super Bowl. The Eagles with their bad loss. We just mentioned the Lions. Some people still high on the Cowboys. That was embarrassing after what they did in week one. So, yeah, a tiny bit of value. They're, I see as high as 14-1 for the Super Bowl.
Detroit?
They're still top six.
Mm-hmm. With Joe Ostrowski, I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is out today. You mentioned the Ravens there a minute ago. They are at Dallas. So I saw a one-point favorite at Dallas, which the Ravens still, they always get that respect. You can understand why they win so often. Look out. I mean, at Dallas this week, and then it's the Bills in week four on Sunday night.
So in week two, I was thinking for the Ravens that they would run less with Lamar because that first game where they lose by the toe, it was an all-out effort against the Chiefs, and you obviously want Lamar to last the whole season. Now you have to throw that out the window. Yeah. You are in a very desperate spot, very desperate spot. So I would expect Lamar to run a ton. You've got to throw the kitchen sink. You know, yeah, I'll throw another stupid football cliche out there, but you really have to because we could say the season's over. As stupid as it is in the middle of September, they're saying it's a must-win game for Baltimore, and if they do, both of those teams are going to be 1-2. But yeah, I understand why that flipped too, because if you look at the injury situation, some of these names they're saying on the Dallas side, like CeeDee Lamb not practicing yesterday. I didn't get a chance to see what happened today, but there are a lot of names out there that are not practicing or limited. Seattle's another one that we can talk about too that is pretty dicey, where maybe you get a cluster injury situation, impactful players for both of those teams. So it looks like that's the reason, the biggest reason that it flipped from Dallas over to the Baltimore side. The one thing we were talking about today on the show, BetQL Daily, is Sam Panayotovich. He was talking to some some numbers makers out in Vegas, and they said that the biggest thing with this matchup is these teams are playing so fast. So he's big on playing the total going over.
Baltimore-Dallas.
Yes.
Yeah. What's the Seattle one? That's Miami-Seattle. By the way, names just in George Kittle. Hamstring tightness. So not known whether he'll play for San Francisco. Debo's out. McCaffrey, of course, is still out too.
I was thinking about San Francisco for Survivor. Do I want to take San Francisco when they're missing everybody?
Get ready for Brandon Ayuk's first ever 30-catch game.
Right? What are his Offensive Player of the Year numbers?
I know. Jordan Mason for Offensive Player of the Year.
Right. Seattle, that number with Miami. So the look ahead, when you assume it's Tua, Miami was a slight favorite on the road. Tough spot to play. And then the other day it went to Seattle favored by 5. It's slowly coming down. I saw it earlier at Seattle minus 4.5, but Kenneth Walker hasn't been practicing this week. DK Metcalf.
I want to see them like stomp somebody. You know, like Seattle just it does not breed confidence for covering a real number. I think Geno's really good. JSN breakout. Charbonnet might be good enough. You know, Miami is so down. Can they just be, because we talked about them before the season. I liked them for that division before the season. I feel like Geno Smith is great. But can they be a team that can just beat anybody like 30-10?
I like them for the division too. We were on the same page with that. And I look at this game and I'm saying, I'm going to take Miami in the points. I'm getting more than a field goal and also another injury situation. The Seahawks have 4 linebackers that are down right now. 4. And what did Hunter Henry do against that last
week? Oh, yeah.
So you think Mike McDaniel can't scheme something up against those injured linebackers and maybe their offensive playmakers are out too? I know it's backing Skylar Thompson and that's scary. It worked last week with Willis. Maybe we can do enough where that's a one-possession game and we at least cover the point spread. So, I do like Miami in that spot.
Is it a Jonnu Smith week? There has not been a Jonnu Smith week in a while. A few minutes more with Joe Ostrowski. What are your Bills thoughts?
This might be an unpopular opinion. So on the show we were doing, after 2 weeks, the most undervalued 0-2 teams and the most overvalued 2-0 teams. And so I think the obvious thing is people are going to say, oh, 0-2, the undervalued teams are going to be the Bengals and the Ravens. I don't look at it that way because both are somewhat significant favorites to make the playoffs. So the betting market is not saying that they're undervalued. They're expected to turn this thing around and, you know, get in that 10-win range good enough to make the playoffs. And I was going over the overvalued, and I actually put Seattle on that list at number 3. Myself and Sam were both in agreement. Texans number 1 overall, but even though it's been a terrific start, I did put your Bills at number 2, just because I continue to have questions about the defense, even though it was a terrific performance last week. You guys do what you always do and smash the Dolphins.
Yep.
But as the 3rd Super Bowl favorite, I just have a tough time getting there with the questions that I still have with the team. Obviously, Josh Allen's been Superman, but yeah, I did for where they are in the betting market, I did put them as an overvalued team at the moment.
I think it's fair. I think this is a tough matchup for them too. Jacksonville has been traditionally or in recent years. What are your MVP thoughts? We have this weird season so far where the top quarterbacks can't put numbers up, including Allen. 139 in that game last week,
It's
James Cook, it's running backs. Everybody is talking about this. Is this a year where it might be reasonable to bet on a non-quarterback?
No.
No.
Not for me. Let's see if this is still the case in a month. And I know you want to respond to this ahead of time. It's just, I don't see it happening. The only time, the outlier season was the Adrian Peterson season, where he breaks all sorts of records. And are we going to see that elsewhere? Maybe. It's funny. Is this the slow start because quarterbacks are not playing in the preseason? Or is this the NFL being the NFL and things flip in this league and it's more defense and run game like it was in the olden days? I think some people actually want to see that. Mahomes is still the favorite at around 3-1. I think Josh Allen should be the favorite with what he's done so far, and he was in that conversation, the very short list, to begin. Burrow's dropped a good amount, but he's still the fifth favorite. You could find him at 20-1. Lamar's not going to win. Okay, he's 28-1. He already has two. He's going for number three. If I'm looking for value, I'm going down the board, and it is tough to find some value here. You know, I'm surprised to see that Jordan Love is 100-1. He's practicing this week.
Yeah.
What if he only misses one or two games in the end? My preseason pick hasn't looked great, but if the Eagles have a great season, it doesn't really matter what happened early on in September. If they have one of the best records, Jalen Hurts is going to be in that conversation. That was my pick before the year got started. But yeah, now I see that Jordan Love 100-1. If he only misses one or two games, I think that could be a live play there.
It feels a little bit too late on Derek Carr, but it's still a good price.
You can find a 40.
And that's good enough.
Yeah.
It's going to be somebody whose team wins at least 12 games. It's going to be a quarterback of a team that won at least 12 games. So that could be the NFC. That was the Hurts, part of the Hurts argument. Mm-hmm. That was part of the Purdy argument. And if you like Seattle or if you like New Orleans, like I kind of do, to just stay hot, there you go. Especially if there's attrition with the other guys, you know, like Allen, Mahomes, Jackson, all of that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you like Jacksonville plus 5.5?
I guess.
Kinda, you don't want to say it out
loud. Kind of whisper it. Yeah, no. I think I do. I think I would take the Allen. We did this before week one. They were about the same favorite in week one. And it's like, I should find it. 8 of the last 25 times the Bills have been a 6-point favorite, have they covered?
I was actually just reading this.
Okay.
This is courtesy Evan Abrams at the Action Network. Here's Allen on extra rest. Not great. 8-14-1 against the spread. As a favorite of 4 or more, last 3 years, 8-17-1 against the spread.
Jeez.
An awful number. Allen, after facing a divisional opponent, 14-21-1 against the spread, if you care. Here's one that could also, it fits this matchup because they're an 0-2 team. Last 10 years, teams that start 0-2, week 3, they're 60% against the spread.
Yeah, we give up, but we know not to. There it is.
Underdogs, 6-plus points. We're not there yet. Maybe we get to 6. 6-plus points this year. They are a perfect 8-0 against the spread.
I'd be careful with teams like the Bengals, who are 0-2, but more than a touchdown favorite.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that it's more applicable to underdogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Joe, always a great time. Thanks so much. And I look forward to getting to know your partner starting tomorrow.
All right, good deal.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Ostrowski on the West Her Hotline, his BetQL Daily co-host. Sam Pettyanovich will join us on Fridays, beginning tomorrow at 3:30. Phone lines are open now. I've been talking for days here about sort of the state of things in the NFL. Maybe you have a theory. So many different theories are flying around. What is going on? How do you like the Bills in the game Monday night? We'll talk some more football after the update. Lines open at 803-0550. Bulldog is out today. This is Mike Shope on WGR.